From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Dave Haw is just a bandwagon guy.
More bad music, but that's Tim McGraw. David Haw joins us in Tampa. Brian Campbell, Mark Carmen, I'm David Kaplan. D-Haw down in Florida covering the Hawks.
That's much better. Tim McGraw is more my style. Taylor Swift, love her country stuff. Her pop stuff's okay, but she kind of left the genre. So a little more Tim McGraw. And by the way, game two, thrilled to be here. It's a privilege to cover this series, this team. But I am going to miss the Kenny Chesney concert, so at Soldier Field.
What a heartbreak.
Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, Cap, come on. Open your mind.
Best thing that ever happened was Garth Brooks got canceled because of the game. Less country, please. Ugh. Anyway, let's talk about, is this a must-win game? I'll ask Brian first. Must-win game Saturday for the Lightning.
No, it's not.
Really?
Yeah, you know, definitely it's going to hurt if they don't get it. Believe me, but it's not a must-win game. I still remember Carolina when they won the cup. They were down 2-0 heading to Montreal first round. And they ended up winning four straight. But 2-0, I'd say it's pretty close because if you're down 2-0 against the Hawks.
You're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, Brian's brain, due respect, has been through the hockey player processor.
Yes.
It is definitely programmed to think that no game is a must-win, and I respect that because that's the way you have to approach it, especially if you're still active and you're still in that mindset. It's to the Lightning, it can't be viewed as a must-win. But I got to tell you, to everybody else, it is. There's no way the Lightning go down 2-0 and go back to Chicago and have a realistic shot of winning this series because then they have to beat the Hawks. I mean, you can do the math. I think that if they lose on Saturday night, you're going to have people in Chicago like thinking, okay, where am I going to be Wednesday night at 11:30? That's not realistic, but I think that's the way people are looking at this sometimes because it's a very good team, but you can't lose two straight at home when you're going back to Chicago with this team playing at this level. I don't know. I think it is a must-win cap, so I'm sort of with you there.
As a former professional athlete myself, I relate to what Brian's talking about. I hear that laughter, David Haw.
50 and over tennis doesn't count.
After my fine intramural career. Hey, David, there's a lot of talk about the Blackhawks fans being kept out of Tampa Bay. Certainly the Lightning wanted that. We saw a ton of them on the TV. What was it like in the arena last night? It seemed pretty strong.
It was very strong, Carm. I don't want to say that was maybe overstated a little bit, the whole – you know, the Tampa effort to kind of restrict the Hawks fans from getting in the building and then to make them change their clothes once they got there. But there was no – had I not been aware of that effort and the highly publicized sort of Tampa Bay Lightning edict, I don't know that I would have struck me as odd. I would have thought, boy, there's a lot of red here. There are pockets of – red jerseys. There are some vocal people around the Hawks bench down in the tunnel. But yet, I will say this, the Lightning crowd and the way they turned out and just the excitement level inside the arena was better than anything that I experienced in Anaheim. The Ducks fans with the waving, you know, orange towels, that was great and everything. But there was a late arriving crowd. They got out of the game really quickly. Last night, you knew that this meant something to the fan base, and they turned out in full force. But I think the Hawks fans have to be proud, too, because there was noticeably red kind of splotches throughout the arena.
Hey, don't you feel like the win last night, they stole it. The Hawks stole it. They got it done. The nonsense about Corey Crawford has to stop. He's won a cup.
What nonsense?
Oh, please, you don't sit in the seats. You're up in a press box eating free food. I'm in my highly paid seats in the and when he gives
ooh,
up a bad goal.
Ooh, highly paid seats.
When people are sitting in the seats and Corey gives up a bad goal, they crush him at
nonsense,
the United Center.
Nonsense, Cap. There was no bad goal last night.
No. I'm not talking about last night. I'm saying that throughout the season, when I go to these games and he gives up a bad goal, people are ripping on him,
right.
And it needs to stop.
Human nature. Because, I mean, even though a guy who has been as accomplished as he is. I think that, you know, the goaltenders and the quarterback are the two most scrutinized and important positions in all of sports. That's going to happen. But look, Corey Crawford's three victories away from winning a second cup as a goalie for the Blackhawks. That's hockey immortality in Chicago. So I think that no matter the noise, that I know what you're referring to because it is a very quick knee-jerk reaction to say, oh, geez, here's Crawford. Do you really trust him? But I think Joe Quenneville gave those fans some ammunition back in the Nashville series when that began about 2 years ago by pulling him. I think that's why it sort of regained some steam. But last night, you know, outside of that one fluky goal, which was a tremendous play, I think that Crawford came up huge. And this, if he's playing at that level, that's why I think Saturday night must win for the Lightning.
What do you think going into game two, David, how the Hawks are going to change? I can kind of see them, you know, going at it the same way. Obviously, a better start. They started, you know, adding the pressure on later in the second half of the game with their D pinching more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, I think it's just a case of they just need to just wait the Lightning out and wait for those opportunities to come.
I think they're going to stay as patient as maybe they were in game one, Brian. You would know better than I would, but I think they probably feel like, okay, we got away with one, we got one, but you know what? They're going to come out furious again. Let's just, you know, be cautious. Let's be patient. Let's play our game. Let's not get carried away and take any unnecessary chances. And that might be the approach. Lineup-wise, I think they might be more cautious with Brian Bickell, and the way Christopher Stieg played allowed them to be maybe a little bit more patient. And I don't know that you want to ever equate somebody's performance with the decision you're making with somebody who may have a, you know, rumored concussion or a head injury. But I do think that also factors in, is that what were they missing? And they weren't missing a lot. So I think that may be one of those decisions where lineup-wise, you know, Joe Quenneville might say, well, Christopher Stieg was pretty good. Let's stick with him.
D-Hawk, go to your interview. Go over to practice. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
Good work. See you.
See ya. There he is, David Haugh down in Tampa. Yeah, I sit in my seats, and it's amazing. If Corey gives up a bad goal, which is going to happen, people start killing him.
Yeah, well, as you said, he's like the quarterback. I feel like a defenseman are like the safety or the cornerbacks. If they get beat, it's like, you know, it's just something you see more. You see the blatant mistake. But if you see a forward turn a puck over or not pick up the right guy in the back check, the average fan's like, okay, they don't see that. But it's just it's a part of the game. It's why you put the goalie pads on as a kid, and why some of us play defense where you can get exposed more, and then, you know, why the some guys play forward and, you know, nobody sees it as much.
Yeah, but let's rewind the tape. What were you saying in the Nashville series there, Corey Crawford, backer at the Capman?
I was saying he should stay in the net. I understood when Darling played great to start him the next game. I got that, but you were not winning a cup if Scott Darling was playing the whole way. You were not.
You needed Corey to get away for a couple of days, work
exactly
with the goalie
right.
Coach.
Clean it up.
You know, I think Q played it great the whole way.
He did. 312-235-2525. Mike Crespo on Twitter says his 12-year-old and he are watching the show. His 12-year-old daughter didn't know who Brian was, thought he was somebody else. We'll tell you who that is right after this.
It's the Cap'n Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
And Eddie, I think that's one of the matchups that's going to put a lot of heat into this series, Shaw versus Callahan. They both have accepted and understand their roles. If you were a teacher, you wouldn't put them next to one another in the classroom. This is too much trouble.
That's last night. As you hear the broadcast, Pierre McGuire, Edzo Doc on NBC. Soupy, Brian Campbell's in for David, who you just heard from Florida. Mark Carman's here. I'm David Kaplan. So we got a tweet that says, Capman, my 12-year-old daughter just saw Brian and thought he was Ron Weasley from Harry Potter.
Yeah, I wish. I'll take it.
I'll take it. Movie yeah. star.
See, that's like legit red hair bias right there. You go red, and then people just feel like they could throw out any redhead at you, and that's just. I mean, if I were you, I'd be offended, to be honest.
No. I you know what? I've had it my whole life. That's why I always ask people, like, you know, if you have black hair. Nobody says anything, but hey.
If you're redhead.
Hey, I like being a little bit different.
Now, your first child.
Yes.
Redhead?
She's got some tints in there, but no, not yet. We'll see. But
and we'll see what number
she's
two is.
She's fiery, though. She's a fiery little one.
Who's more fiery, you or your wife?
I'm more aggressive and fiery. Yeah, me. I'd say me for sure.
Your wife's just more cool, laid back.
Yeah, a little bit. She Googles everything. She's always got one of those personalities where she has to Google everything. So.
But she was a teacher.
Yes. Yes.
What grade?
She did special ed, special needs.
So that's pretty. I have a child who goes through special ed. So. That's amazing to be able to do that.
Yeah, she's
patient.
She's great with our daughter, so you know I'm lucky to have her as my wife and obviously the mom of my child. So, and child's coming up. So
another one tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully everything works out and she can finally get rid of being pregnant. She's on her last straws.
Yeah, she's ready.
Yeah, she's more than ready.
Do you think the hair helped you attain her? Did it separate you?
Well, right when I first met her, she didn't know who I was. And I think she thought some people from Saturday Night Live were going to be at this rocket bar on Hubbard. Is that on? Or is it Hubbard there?
Yeah.
So she had asked her dad if I was who I said I was and if somebody did actually play for the Blackhawks. So I like that, though. I like that she doesn't know who I am, I guess. So.
Right, she didn't marry you for being Brian Campbell.
No, it's funny. Sure, she's trying to learn about hockey a little bit now because she probably never watched a game before in her life before she met me now. So it's always funny the questions you get, and it's good. You know, she's taking a big interest, and she loves it.
Why do you do that?
Yeah, a lot of times she's like, can we turn the game on? And I'm like, yeah, okay, you know. So it's, we will. So, no, it's great.
That's good. All right, let's talk about the Cubs. We'll get back to some hockey later. Last night, Junior Lake cranks a home run, Cubs are losing, gives the bat flip and kind of looks at the other dugout, runs around, points back at them, and the bench is empty. Joe Maddon comes on the field, tells one of the coaches he knows for Florida, back off, relax, this is our fault, and I'll fix it.
Yeah, for Junior Lake, he just probably wants to get some people to watch the game last night in Chicago, so maybe that's why he did it, but I think Madden's response is awesome. You know, it's I know they were talking about Castro the other night. Did you see when he hit his home run and he kind of took 30 seconds to round the bases?
It was embarrassing.
So they didn't know, and then I think he got hit earlier in the game, Castro.
He did.
So they were wondering about that. Who knows what goes on, and you know, but why would he do the bat flip? There's no reason unless there's something else going on.
Yeah, but baseball players are just so soft. It's irritating. Like Junior Lake's wrong, and Joe Maddon's absolutely right, but – oh, my God, he stood there for an extra second, or he took a long time to run around the bases. Just enough with the old baseball rules. Like, we want to be entertained. I love that he did it. It was the only thing that was interesting in last night's game. Like,
no, you can't do that, though. It's a lack of class.
I understand that, but at least it was – but I want to be entertained.
They should change the whole league where they allow that stuff to go on, like the bat flip.
Yes.
If everybody knows it's allowed, the bat flip.
Make it all show.
Yeah, maybe do a 360 every base or something. Like, and maybe you have a time. They have enough. They have another clock up there. Put a clock up for a 30-second time
you
frame.
Get 30 seconds to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
That's a great one. Do you like it when someone dunks on whoever and stands over them, gives a little love?
No.
Oh, come on.
Act like you've been there before.
You didn't like it when, say, like Patrick Ewing dunked on, or when Pippen dunked on Ewing and stood all over him that we still watch today. Or whoever.
Yeah, I liked it because I'm a Bulls fan.
Right.
But I wouldn't like it if they did it to us, so it shouldn't be. That's not part of the game. Now, if you tell me a guy scores a touchdown and he flips the ball or he does something funny, but when you show up your opponent, no.
What about when Kane does the was it the heart gesture and then punches through the heart?
Does that bother you?
Yeah. What do you think of that?
If you were a Lightning fan, it would bother you.
No, because he's not doing it to taunt someone else. He's celebrating his play. It's different. Junior Lake's pointing at the other team. It's just garbage.
It is garbage, but it's entertaining.
Why
garbage.
Are we talking about it today?
Because it's
awesome. Because it happened. You
okay.
Know?
So if somebody scored on you, they made a great move, deked you out of your skates, they go in, walk in, and score. And he goes by you, and he's pointing, tell me you're not going to be ticked.
I got my head down in shame, so yeah. I probably don't see it. I got my head down, and I'm like, oh, man.
You're like, dude, do you need to show me up like that?
I don't want to go back to the bench right now and hear what I got to hear.
Yeah, but so you want, as a fan, you want Brian Campbell ticked there, and you want to see what he's going to do as a response. You want to raise the intensity of what's going on out there. I mean, not that it's not intense.
You act with class.
Yeah, I understand it. I don't like it, and it was, you know, you do have baseball is a lot about history, but better yet, the reason why this team is going to, I hope, win a championship is because you have a manager that responds the way he does.
Agreed. Like,
he's such a professional, and he says to these kids, hey, none of that. We're done with that. They learn. They move on. The whole minor league system is going to see it, as he said, and everybody moves on, and that's why they're going to get to the peak, hopefully someday and hopefully soon.
Would you like to play for a coach who's a screamer, yeller, in your face? He's just like Mike Keenan, or just a laid-back dude like Joe Maddon who treats you like a pro because he thinks you'll conduct yourself like a pro?
I think everybody wants to play for a guy that treats you like an adult and a pro. So now he's saying, hey, you want me to treat you like a pro to Junior Lake and the rest of these guys, then you got to do it my way. And I think every player loves the give and take. For me, it's like if he treats me like an adult and a professional, you know, yeah, he's going to have to yell at me sometimes. But at the end of the day, you know, he wants the best for me and for our team, then that's a great thing.
Here's Joe Maddon last night on what happened with Junior Lake.
I just spoke to him. We spoke to him during the game. We don't do that here, and it'll be the last time you see it. And I did tell them at home plate during the scrum. I told Chuck Hernandez, because that's who I saw. I said, it's our fault, and we'll take care of it. That's it.
And Junior obviously got the message?
Yes. I don't want us to take a page out of Major League and flamboyantly flip a bat after a long home run. I don't want that at all.
I love that out of him.
Yeah.
So in control.
And you know what? He didn't go in there and was screaming, I guarantee, and screaming and yelling at Junior Lake and everything else. He says, hey, probably did it in a nice manner. And he's like, hey, this is what we're going to do. That's how he treats them like adults.
If that was Dale Swamy, would have mumbled some, it's not bad, not a good play right there. And then if it was Rick Renteria, he would have been, he was great. Everything was great. We're great. I mean, at least they have a human being in there now who's got enough confidence, I guess, in backing that he can speak what's real. You got to appreciate that.
I like Joe Maddon. He's in control, but he's always just, it's a long season. Just let's not get too high.
Yeah, it's, you know, how he changes things up. He keeps everything fresh in that locker room, whether it's, I know they have different themes when they go on the road and they dress different. It's like, that just brings everybody so much closer together. And you want to play for him. You want to win for him. And you want to win for the organization. Just like any other owner that I've been involved in, if he cares and cares about you and wants to see you do well, you care about him and you want to earn your paycheck and bring success to the franchise.
They have a disco ball in the Cubs clubhouse.
Yeah, you want that over there? You want to bring that to your locker room?
My trainer and longtime trainer in Buffalo, he had a disco ball in the training room. So the odd time he'd shut the lights off and just have the disco ball even before going to the game. This guy was the best hilarious trainer I've ever had. So he used to have a huge wad of money that he'd carry around for the team to pay things on the road. You have to pay the bus driver and everything. So he was the guy that kept the money, and I'd get a massage before the game, and he'd get out the money and he'd start rubbing my legs with the money. He's like, just loving life. And we just laugh and keeps it fresh. And it's you know, that's what you want. You want it to be loose sometimes, but you know when you got to buckle down.
Joe Maddon, he has penguins in the clubhouse and the huge boa constrictors and music at spring training, and he gives them 15 minutes after every win at home. They turn on. They've got a smoke machine. They got music. They got the disco ball. Enjoy it, and then we put it away and move on. But then you got other coaches like Thibs, who I like. It's all business all the time.
Yeah, obviously there's different ways of doing it, and there's positives and negatives to each and every one of them. But, you know, it's just you come into the room, and I just love seeing that. You know, these kids, how old's Joe Maddon?
Joe's 60.
60. And he's dealing with 20, 25, late 20s, you know, most of the players on the Cubs team. You gotta let them live some life. They're playing in a big city, a lot of pressure. You got to alienate that a little bit and, you know, reward them. 15 minutes, great. Then he goes into business where, yeah, maybe Tibbs goes in after a game and you know, does it a little bit different. But there's different personalities in how you do it.
Biggest problem last night was you're down 6-0.
Yeah.
You know, if it was a 5-4 game, you had a two-run shot, you go up 6-5, okay, I get it. Down, you're now at 6-2. That's ugly. And by the way, Cap, you and David Haugh, along with Mike Jacobson, you should bring a disco ball in here. You let Jacobson decide if the show was a win or a loss, and if it was a win, you should go do a 15-minute dance after the show. Hall would love that.
That'd be phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Who's he silent when he puts up the shh sign there, you know, when they're down 6-0? That's just, as you're right. Saying, Mark, it's just like, I don't know. That's
come on,
what
dude.
I didn't.
Yeah, the whole
I wish I knew what was kind of going on before, if it was a Castro thing that happened that they're mad about or,
right,
you know.
Something – well, triggered all that.
He stood at home plate and they were yelling at him, run, I assume. And then he got to third base and he couldn't hold it. He was like, and he just told them all to be quiet.
Needs to stop. Stop. Totally. 312-235-2525. We've got room for some calls. You want to talk some hockey? Brian can answer your questions and we've got more to do. 312-235-2525. Luke Stuckmeyer will join us at 10:40. And don't forget, Sports Talk Live today at 5:30. We've reached deep in our bag for our panel today, including the one and only Mark Carmen, and a re-air of the Stanley Cup Final Game 1 today, 3 o'clock on CSN. And a chance for you to win Hawks tickets, Wednesday's Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. You can go. Just tune in and watch for a keyword given out during pre- and post-game shows for Game 2 and pre-game for Game 3. Winners will be announced during the Game 3 post-game show for their chance to win only here at CSN Chicago at csnchicago.com. Hey, get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV app in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into ABT today to see the complete selection of Samsung electronics. Or call them 847-544-2228, 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience. Shop where we shop. It's app, ABT, app.com. Ask for Steve Shapiro, app pleasing people since 1936. Come right back on the show.
Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
Tampa Bay Lightning, I know you're a huge fan.
Yes, I am.
Give me a message to Chicago.
Chicago's in a lot of trouble. You know, if we roll back the history books, my daughter Brooke, every time she sang at the home games, they never lost.
Wow.
And every time I had the Lightning shirt on and pumped the crowd up, they never lost. So I'm going home this week, and I think I'm going to have a little talk with some of the Lightning guys. Chicago's in a whole bunch of trouble, brother.
That's Hulk Hogan making a jackass of himself yesterday before the game. But, of course, we got CM Punk with the Blackhawks stuff on, so they're both showmen. Cap and Haw Show continues. Brian Campbell, they call him Soupy, is in for David, who's down in Tampa. Mark Carmen is in here. I'm David Kaplan. Lots going on. We'll talk to Luke Stuckmeyer from Tampa in a little while. We talked about Junior Lake. Chris Sale was phenomenal last night. When it's baseball, it's not hockey, but there are got to be games where, like, you show up and you go, we've got to get a win today, and you know your best player is going to step up.
Yeah, he is their best player. And last night, I think they needed that win, and look what he did to the poor rookie there last night. I think he was swinging and missing a lot.
A whole bunch. Do you remember your first game?
I was in Detroit, and
I was nervous.
Yeah, because it was like Yzerman, it was Hull, it was Shanahan. It was like when they
the
were
the best of the best.
Yeah, in 99 when they had everybody. I played pretty good that game. We lost. I think Dom Hasek was our goalie.
Uh huh.
I think we lost 2-0, but I played pretty good. And after the game, the coach like praised me in the media and said I played great. He was happy with me, so stuck around, played the next game, scored my first goal the next game, goal and an assist the next game, and against Washington, against Olaf Kolzik.
That was your first goal?
Yeah.
Do you remember the date?
Second game of the season in 1999. It wasn't a it was an all right goal.
99-2000 season?
Yeah, yeah. Second game of my career. And then I played a few, went back to the minors most of the rest of that year and just battled to get back and be steady. And okay. Took me a while. Took me until I was 25, 26 to get regular lineup. And
all right. Were you chartering back then or flying commercial?
Chartering.
Okay. So then you get sent back down.
Yeah.
What is that like? There's your charter, Brian. It's called the Greyhound.
Yeah. No, our team was in Rochester. So it's an hour down the road from Buffalo there. So you never want to make that drive to Rochester. You always want to make the drive back. I'll tell you a funny story. I got called up. I was in Rochester. And I was after the game, they tell me I got called up. So I'm going to Washington the next night. And obviously I'm excited. I had like a tracksuit on from the game. And the next morning I wake up early, catch my flight. I can't find my wallet. I can't find it. I'm looking everything, tearing through my room, trying to find it. So I head to the airport and I'm like, I don't have my wallet. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't find it. So I'm like looking through my console of my car. I see a hockey card. I'm like, okay. I go up to the front desk. I'm like, I need to get on this flight. I got to make it to Washington.
What year is this?
This is in 99.
So we hadn't had 9/11 yet. So
99 or it might have been 2000. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, here's my hockey card. I need to get on this flight. And I got on that flight. And then I get there and I have no money to pay for it. I didn't have a cell phone back then or anything. So I had to get somebody to pay for my cab too.
So what do you do?
I had the number of our trainer. So I go to the payphone at the airport. I call him. I said, hey, I'm landing at this time. I'll be at the airport. I need somebody to pay for my cab. I get there. Lindy Ruff, our coach, and Darcy are gear out on the sidewalk. And I'm like, they're like, you need some money? I'm like, yeah, I need some money.
They must have
ended up paying for my cab.
They must have thinking, if this guy can't find his wallet, do we ever want him playing hockey for us? I mean, that's probably.
Did you ever find the wallet?
Yeah, I found it was actually in my pocket of the pants I had on the night before.
Of course.
And I wasn't drinking, people. I was not drinking.
God.
Like, it was just like, but I made it there. And I was like, I was sweating bullets the whole day, nervous on the flight. And I go play an NHL game that night.
And you had the hockey card in your car.
Yeah, in my car I had it. And that's the only way I got on the plane.
You feel naked without your wallet.
Oh.
Right? I mean, it's like you might as well not be wearing clothes if you don't have your wallet or for you, Cap, your phone, or now your Apple Watch.
Love the Apple Watch.
Yeah, I gotta look into this.
Yeah, I love it. My wife got it for me for our anniversary.
It looks
good. Coming up. It's a cool-looking watch.
Yeah, looks great.
Yeah, she surprised me with it last night. I'm looking at your stats. So you played 12 games that first season at age 20.
Mm-hmm. Kaner and Taser probably had 150 by that point.
Crazy. Then the next year you played 8 games.
Yeah.
Then 29 games. And then in 02-03, 65 games.
Yep.
And then
the next year I played what?
53.
Healthy scratch, 29 games, Cap. I know it to a T. I still remember it. 29 games as a healthy scratch.
When you're a healthy scratch, who tells you? The head coach or assistant?
Assistant sometimes. Sometimes they write it on the board in the morning. But, you know, like for me, like I wasn't Kaner. I wasn't Taze. I didn't play in the league. You know, it was a 6-round draft pick. And I still remember that in my head. I was a healthy scratch for 20. That makes me so mad. And I knew what I needed to do. And I never forget that to this day. I know what I was, and I worked for everything I got. And I'm, you know, just, you know, I was making obviously good money. I was playing in the NHL, but obviously I signed a big deal here, which, you know, kind of set me and took me from there. But I worked for every inch of that.
So when you are going to be a healthy scratch, do you see it coming? Do you go, there's no chance I'm playing tonight?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, no. Depends if they write it on the board in the morning who's playing and who's not, but sometimes they'll like have extra guys playing or you're taking warm up, you might be playing.
And then you see him walking toward you. You're like,
yeah. I got told in Washington twice. A coach calls me over and he goes, you're not playing tonight in warm up. He goes, you're not playing tonight. Make sure you get a good skate out there. So I'm like busting around out there and just flying around trying to get a good skate. I'll do anything. Whatever the coach told me to do, I would do. And then like 5 minutes left in warm-up, he calls me over. He's like, you're playing tonight. And I'm just like, oh, okay. you know, just your mind's just going everywhere. So
it just completely changes.
Yes, a guy couldn't play, and you know, but that's something that it's ingrained in my mind. 29 healthy scratches.
All right, what is it like being traded?
I got traded to Buffalo, San Jose. It was trade deadline day. It was like 100% chance I was getting traded that day. I still couldn't put it into my system that I was going to get traded, because you grew up somewhere in Buffalo and that's where I played, and I cared so much about everything there and friends, and it was a tough day for me. But my dad had actually came down to help me. He knew I was going to trade. I think he called my agent the night before, and he's like, yeah, Brian's going to get traded tomorrow. So I didn't know this. I knew there was a great chance, and it was tough. I grew up there. That's where I was when I was 18, got drafted. So
you get the phone. They call you?
I was at the rink practice in the morning, and they called me into the office. A few tears shed, Cap.
Right, it because you were very comfortable where
I
you were.
I was comfortable. I wanted to stay in Buffalo. We just couldn't get anything done, and then I got traded to San Jose. So – and, you know, I was kind of young and didn't really know.
Well, it's funny, with your wife going to give birth tomorrow, Eddie Olczyk's wife goes into labor. He goes to the hospital with her. They have a game that night. So he's hoping that she can have the baby and he can leave the hospital, go right to the rink.
Yeah.
They're playing in Toronto, I think he told us. He's playing for the Maple Leafs. And he gets called out of the room. He's calling the arena. He says, hey, look, my wife's in labor. I'm going to get there. They're like, don't come.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you mean? We just traded you to Winnipeg. He walks back in, and she's like, where the blank have you been? I'm in labor. And he's like, everything's all right. And she's like, where are we getting traded?
Really?
She knew. And he goes, guess. She goes, Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And then it took like 8 more hours for her to give birth. She like stopped her contractions.
That's the thing, like, you know, those are the tough times about hockey. You know, your wife has, she can't go to Winnipeg right away. You got right. A newborn son. Christopher Stieg's not going to see his son for 2 weeks, you know. But yeah, would he rather be where he is? And of course he would rather be. But you know, those are the other things that you kind of don't think about. You know, everyday life still goes on. So.
Correct. It's different. Yeah.
I asked my wife, and she's like, there's not a chance you would be in labor with me if it was game 7. She's like, you'd be at the rink playing. So
yeah.
There you go.
My wife and I were talking about it. She said the same things, because if you were that good, yeah, you're going to play.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a time out. We'll get to these calls. Phone lines are full. We'll get to those, and Luke Stuckmeyer will join us for a little bit from Tampa. Be right back.
Now, more Cap'n Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
La, 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 Luke. Luke. Lor, la, lo, la, lo.
Welcome back, Cap'n Haw. Brian Campbell, Soupy, is in for David. Mark Carmen is to my left. Luke Stuckmeyer is in Tampa. By the way, Matt Rooney, our associate producer, Google the list of famous redheads, celebrity redheads. B, Brian Campbell, ice hockey player. How about that?
Hey, that's Lanny McDonald. I guess he'd be a pretty good one, but I'll take it.
Lanny McDonald, I don't know if he's on that list.
He's got a
redhead?
Well,
he didn't make the
mustache,
list.
Big mustache, but
hey. Claude Giroux.
So if I had blonde hair, I wouldn't be on there.
Correct.
Yeah, there's no way they would have put me on there.
Claude Giroux and Cody Eakin,
yeah.
Ice hockey players with red hair as well as you. Pretty good.
Hey.
There you go.
Take it when you got that going
for you. Luke Stuckmeyer's down in Tampa, does just magnificent work over at CSN, joins us now. Stucky, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good, magnificent. Wow, you're laying it on thick this morning, Cap.
I just tell the truth, pal. Look, you've had this beat for a while now. How much fun is it to be on the beat of a team where it's like the Beatles on the road? Everyone wants a piece of them. You're right there in the thick of it. And last night they go in and steal game one behind Corey Crawford.
It's a lot of fun. The players enjoy this time of year, but I think everybody in the media would agree this is, you know, why you got into the business too, to cover the big games, the fun games. You know, sometimes that game in the middle of the season in the middle of January and the snow's blowing across the United Center parking lot, you're thinking, well, this isn't quite as fun as I thought it would be. But no, it's a lot of fun, and I really do think, and I think Brian might be able to talk to this. I believe the Blackhawks enjoy starting on the road. I asked Marian Hossa about it before at Media Day, and he's like, yeah, you know, kind of like the idea of being able to go on the road and stealing at least one and kind of putting that doubt in their mind right away. And, boy, they did it. Now if they win game two, well, then Tampa Bay's in real trouble.
Hey, Luke, Teuvo Teravainen, who you were tweeting about last night, he doesn't like you or anybody in the media. He doesn't want to talk to you. What's your strategy when Teuvo has a great game to get him to, you know, open up to the public?
You got to joke with him a little bit, but he's actually pretty good. I mean, you have to understand, some of these players are not speaking their first language. If you started asking me questions in Spanish after a game and I'm all jacked up and excited and running around and, you know, worn out at the same time, imagine trying to answer some of those questions. And there's no doubt that some of the questions are stupid. But, you know, he's a kid that's a little shy right now. He's in a country that's not his own. He's speaking a different language. I think he's doing a great job with it. I mean, you look at some of the guys in other sports, they struggle with it too when you're trying to speak a different language. And I certainly understand that. So I don't really have a strategy with him. I just try and keep it loose with him. And you get what you do out of him. You're not going to expect Brian Campbell's 20-second soundbite every time that's perfect. But, you know, he'll give you something. Table will give you something. He's gotten much better the last month or two, I would say.
Hey, Luke, John Cooper last night, I didn't catch a lot of what he said after the game, and I'm not sure if you did. They got pretty loose there in the third period, and obviously a couple turnovers. What was he saying about even their second half of the game and what they're going to go try to change going into game two?
Well, he was actually, or at least saying that he was pretty happy. You know, he was asked first question right out of the gate, were you too conservative late in the game? And his point was, how many grade A chances, A-plus chances did they really have? He was like, there's no question that Vermette was a grade A, A-plus chance. He's like, but other than that, he didn't feel like that they were giving up too many great chances. Now, he does admit that when they had a chance to put the Blackhawks away, they probably didn't do it. They didn't put home the goals. You know, you got to get more than one goal usually to win a Stanley Cup final game. And he felt like offensively maybe they just didn't bury their chances, but he didn't feel like they were too conservative. And I know that nationally in the media he's kind of getting blasted for it, but his feeling was that the Blackhawks really didn't get too much, that Tavo's goal was kind of a C&I single in baseball, and that the second goal was the one good chance they really gave up late in the third.
Hey, Stucky, when you look at last night's game, what was the – was it just deathly silent when that thing ended down there?
It was pretty quiet around here, yeah. I mean, I think they made – and Cooper knows that they made the mistake of letting the Hawks hang around. And you know, that's – to me, that's what Anaheim did as well. Anaheim had their chance to put the Blackhawks away, but you let a team that's won two cups and had, you know, has somebody like Jonathan Toews and Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith on there – those types of players, Patrick Sharp, he's down the list, they've had a taste of it. They know what it's like. And, you know, these other teams are trying to be that franchise. But when you start putting a little doubt in somebody's mind in a big game, boy, that's when you see what a team's really made of. And that's where the Blackhawks have stepped up this season.
Hey, Luke, last night you can even see, like, and to take you guys into the game a little bit, the Blackhawks – the D-men started pinching more, and that's from Q on the bench. Okay, we need to get a little bit aggressive here. We're down by one. We have 7 minutes left, or I think it was around 7 minutes. They you start looking for the automatic pinch is what we kind of call it. So those D are going to put a little pressure on, and you don't want to play too much like that because you can create chances going the other way against you. But that's one thing the Blackhawks, once they add that pressure on, it's tough for a Lightning team to handle.
Luke,
I was sitting next to our photographer, Eric Fogle, and it was about the 8-minute mark. I said, I don't know if it's going to be the Blackhawks, but somebody's about to score. And you're right. You could really just see it in the game. It was way more up and down the ice, more two-on-ones going either way. There were way more chances late in the game. And the Blackhawks got that goal. And then after that, you know, I think that the doubt and the just the kind of uneasiness of a young team, you could feel that there's no way Tampa was going to come back and get the next goal. I mean, it was – I didn't know that it was going to come 1 minute later or 2 minutes later, but definitely when the Blackhawks started being more aggressive, you could feel the game completely starting to swing into a more wide-open game where there were going to be more chances. If they'd have played another minute like that, you would have probably seen another goal.
What's the sense you're getting, Luke, around Trevor Van Riemsdyk? Because, you know, Q keeps putting it out there that they may play him at some point in the series, which just seems pretty odd. And, Brian, I'm actually curious your take on it, too. But, I mean, it would seem to me that you wouldn't roll that dice where you really don't know what you're going to get. It's not like this is some seasoned veteran that you can count on. He's been out all year.
Yeah. You know, Q made a point at Media Day that's saying it's very likely that he will play in this series. He at the same time, he doesn't usually like to change things up after a win. So I don't think it's coming into this next game. Trevor Van Riemsdyk was really good, and the one thing they really liked, you know, when he played that 1 month at the beginning of the season was that he was really composed for a young player. And I think that's what they saw in training camp is, you know, he knew to make the safe passes, and Q's all about the safe passes, and he was very composed. And so I think they feel like, if, you know, you only have to put that fifth defenseman out there, or fifth or sixth defenseman out there for 4 or 5 minutes, that he might be the safest option to go out there and keep you from doing any damage to the team at some point. But I think it'll be interesting to see if he does come back. You know, where is he at physically? Some guys come back from injury. I wanted to ask, you know, Brian about just coming back from that shoulder injury or a collarbone injury. You know, is Patrick Kane completely past? I mean, he's played a great series. I just was curious when you felt like you were 100% ready to go coming back from that type of injury. Because
yeah,
Kane looks great out there, and I can't believe that he's back and playing at the level that he is this quickly.
Oh, well, I wouldn't be – yeah, I think 3 games into it, I think he probably takes – you know, he's been playing for 2 months now. You got to think these playoffs last a long time, or he's played for a month and a half or so now. He's 100% healthy. Nothing's going to go wrong with that. Me, I was like, okay, got through the first game. Maybe the second game after that, you know, you get it tested, you're fine. So, you know, I think with – I don't see Van Riemsdyk coming in. I think Joel's saying that to get him, you know that there could be a possibility to get him ready. Rundblad played fine last night. Kaminsky played fine last night. We're talking about the first month of the season. And I haven't seen Van Riemsdyk play very much at all. But there's a big difference between the first month of the season to the second half of the season to the last maybe month of the season to playoffs. So I'd be pretty weary about putting him in.
Well, I think if they're winning, he's not going to go back and do anything. But if Q really only likes to make that change when things are going really bad, just like he doesn't want to go to Taves and Kane on the same line together unless he feels like that's the last option and that's kind of his ace that he throws down or his wild card that he throws down. It seems like almost every postseason that's where he goes to. But you know, other guys that have come back and played well in situations where I feel like the Blackhawks, the depth of the team has kind of shown through in this series. You look at Vermette, there's a guy that didn't play as well as he wanted to, trying to fit into the system at the end of the regular season, but Joel benched him. And what did it do? It kind of lit a fire underneath him. You know, he pulled Corey Crawford in game one against Nashville. Wasn't even Corey's fault, but it lit a fire underneath him. And now look how great Corey – I mean, he was the best guy on the ice last night. You know, Christopher Stieg was struggling. He put down Christopher Stieg was great last night. So Joel just seems to know what buttons to push. Maybe that is one that he's putting out there to try and maybe even spark some of the other defensemen to play their best. That, hey, we got another guy coming that could take your spot. And nobody wants to be taken out of a Stanley Cup game.
Hey, as we let you go, who got the belt last night in the dressing room?
That's a good question. I don't know. I didn't hear who got it last night. We're not in there right when they give out the belt, and it got so chaotic here after the game. I don't know. Seabrook was great. Versteeg was great. Tabo was great.
Corey.
Corey was spectacular. The first goal, I don't know if I've seen a crazier goal in the Stanley Cup final. That was about as spectacular as you get.
Luke,
So I think you could have given it to any of those guys.
Luke, do they let you in the dressing room after the game in Tampa? I know it's pretty small in there, so.
Well, we get in there, you know, after about a 5 minute cooling off period. It is a small locker room. I'm not in there as early as I am when we're carrying the games early in the playoffs, like in a home game. So we're in there, I don't know, maybe, you know, the regular cooling off period. It's probably 5-10 minutes afterwards. There's pretty much still everybody in there, but the excitement at this point, the excitement of, you know, guys celebrating and stuff and handing out this, you know, the championship wrestling belt, that's over with. We're just outside and we usually can hear it going on, but we're not in there for it now.
Stucky, appreciate the time. Christopher Stieg looked okay, right? He was healthy. He wasn't wobbly leaving.
No, he looked okay. I mean, he obviously had a pretty good raspberry on his head. Well, I mean, that was a scary moment. And another thing I was talking about, guys coming back from injuries. You look at guys who have played well after their child has been born. Sharp scored, I think, 2 goals, one after each daughter was born. Hossa last year had a daughter born. He scored the game-winning goal. For Steve, people were kind of giving me a little grief on Twitter because I said, you know, I don't know who's going to tie this up for the Blackhawks, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's Christopher Stieg, just based on the history of Blackhawks. I don't know if it's focus or what it is, but guys seem to come back when they have the least amount of rest and they can focus and play well, and he did last night, I think.
Stucky, appreciate the time. Enjoy your time down at Tampa. You got Boyle and the crew on their way.
I know. I got to fight off. You should see the media line, the people trying to get food here, Cap. Shipman, Fogel, all these guys. You put food out. I'll tell you one thing. If we had the media Olympics, I'd feel pretty good about myself.
Well, I'm telling you, if you put out bee stings and bags of manure, Shipman be first in line. See you later.
It's quite the scene. All right. Talk to you later.
Take care. There he is, Luke Stuckmeyer, down in Tampa. So you're going to have a baby tomorrow. Can we get you in the lineup Saturday?
Hey.
Guaranteed a goal. Hey,
would I love to be in the lineup? Wow. I think when Chris hit that post, that might have made him a little smarter too. That kid.
You could say that because that's your guy.
Yeah, he's been good to me.
All right, we've got some TV ratings news that just came in comparing 2015, 13, and 10. Amazing numbers. And Tyron in Tennessee, Natalie in Chicago. If you want to talk to Brian, 312-235-2525. Got a couple lines open. Jump on in. Be right back.